For homeowners, paying the insurance company is part of the deal. But will the company pay you if your home suffers damage? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the changing insurance industry and a three-year effort to get damage repaired are Weiss Ratings founder Martin Weiss, Middletown homeowners Jim Leonard and Susie Bregenzer, and WCPO9 iTeam reporter Dan Monk. Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Susie and Jim, let's start with you. Yes, thank you so much for being here, Martin. Tell us about the storm damage to your home that happened in June of 2022. I don't know which of you wants to kick that off.
That particular day in June, we had about 10 minutes of crazy wind. I had been working outside, and Sue ran out and said, "Hey, did you hear that?" I did. Went around, and unfortunately, we found a tree down on our house. Pretty considerable damage to an awning. Some things like that. I went upstairs on the roof to check the damage. Didn't see a whole lot that concerned me at that time. It was just broken trees and branches. Swept that off, got the debris off the roof, and thought we were okay at that time. Day or two, three later, we started noticing a little bit of water. At that point, I went in person to my agent and said, "Hey, just heads up. We've got some storm damage, and I really don't know the extent of it yet." That was all fine. He said, "Check it out. Let us know what we need to do." That's where the fun started.
Yeah. Well, and you all filed your claim. Was it in October that you filed a claim? How did the insurance company respond? How did it's State Farm? How did they want to
proceed? Yeah, so the first couple months went pretty smoothly. Unfortunately, today, you don't have that personal service that we thought we had. You log into a portal. You're given a claim number. That's where you upload all your pictures, all your estimates, et cetera. Excuse me. That went along pretty well. Pretty good communication up to that point. I think in October, an adjuster came out, pretty much told us how this was going to go. He was pretty helpful. Then that's where things kind of slowed down. Hmm. The claim was handed off several times. I don't know, kind of gives you a bad attitude like, hey, they're delaying this on purpose. But I have to admit, the first 6 months was pretty smooth. And then it kind of just fell on the pause button.
So what did they say needed to be done to fix the problem?
Well, we had a breach in the roof. So that's where we found the water was coming in. And as the adjuster was out, he noticed, I want to say the number was 22 shingles that needed to be replaced and a couple other items. Again, the awning was damaged. That's a whole nother subject. We're not concerned about that at this point. They approved 22 shingles and some plywood, and we got that done. There's a lot of misunderstanding here that the shingles were readily available or not. They weren't. Some website somewhere said, "Oh yeah, the shingles are available at Menards." I tried to go buy a bundle just so that we had them on hand, and Menards said, "I'm sorry, that's no longer in production."
Hmm. Well, and you ended up getting an estimate from a roofing company that said, "Hey, your house needs a whole new roof," right?
Right, right. Yeah, there's some argument there about code, new construction, old construction. Back then, we used planks, or the roofer used planks. Now it's full sheeting plywood. So to bring it up to code today would be an entirely new roof. Hmm. Obviously, our concern is protection from the shingles and that they match.
Sure.
Right now, there's a block or a square of black shingles that don't match.
Hmm. Well, there's a lot more to your story that we'll get into. I want to first say we did invite State Farm to take part in this discussion. A company spokesman declined, but he sent us this statement. Quote, "We have been working with our customer and their attorney since their loss and believe we have provided every benefit available to them within their policy." Now, we'll come back to Jim and Susie's situation. I want to first get a broader picture here from Martin. Martin, your company looked at dozens of insurers with nearly 7 million claims in 2024. How many of those claims ended up being closed with no payment at all?
Yeah, nationally, with all insurers, beyond the dozens, the total number of claims that were denied right up front was 2.85 million claims. which was extremely high percentage of the total claims that were filed. So in Jim and Susie's case, they actually got to the point of talking to the insurance company and actually trying to negotiate the damages. But before that step, there were almost 3 million Americans in 2024 who never even got that far because their claims were denied flat out. I call them flat out denials based on some quirk, some language, whatever the insurance company can come up with. Now, are there some claims that are filed that are frivolous or that are erroneous? Yes. That can happen. I mean, all of us are human. We misunderstand what the policy covers. We might not realize that our claim is under the deductible. But still, this is not just these are big numbers, and it's gotten progressively worse over the years. Back in 2004, you would look at numbers in the range of 25% of claims closed without payment. Today, it's in the 40% and more. And many companies, many large companies in the United States, are closing almost half or even more than half of the claims that are filed. That's just step one. I call it sneaky tactic number one. The second sneaky tactic is that the companies are delaying payments for more than 60 days. In some states, as many as 44% of claims are being delayed beyond 60 days. So now you're sitting there with a leaky roof, and they're dragging their feet. And then step number three, let's call it sneaky tactic number three, is when they find ways to slash the claims. Often your on-site adjuster will come in and say, well, it looks to me, based on my objective analysis, that you have a roof damage here and a claim value of, let's say, $100,000. And you say, great, that's exactly what I need. Thank you very much, adjuster. But then that same document goes off to someone behind the scenes. They call it the desk review, who you never meet and who never comes on site to see the real on-the-ground situation. And for whatever reason, cuts the damage claim as much as 90% and sends you a notice saying, yeah, we owe you $10,000 or less.
Wow.
So that's step number. There's more, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't end there. The next thing that's happening, and it's happening a lot very recently since between 2018 and 2024, the number of companies dropping the insured completely, saying, sorry, we know you've been a loyal customer, we know you've been paying higher premiums every year, but we're not going to renew you. We're going to drop you because we think you're too risky for us. Well, in some states, the percentage of non-renewals has gone up double, triple, quadruple, and in one case, even 5.4 times since 2018.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, so there's a lot of sneaky tactics here. They've existed for many years, but they're getting a lot worse, and they're infecting even some of the larger, more respectable, quote-unquote, companies.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the changing insurance industry and the implications for homeowners. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Dan, you did an investigation into this for the iTeam at WCPO9. What did you hear about why insurers are becoming more aggressive at limiting these claims? When did all that start?
Well... Probably in the 1990s, it's a trend that began with rising costs for repairs for storm damage. And then in more recent years, we've had more and more storms that accumulate $1 billion or more in damage. I think it was over 20 storms in each of the last few years. And so that's one factor. Another factor is that the industry has been doing what Martin suggests, which is denying and trying to defend their denial of claims. And that's purely in the realm of getting higher profits. So they're doing a lot of things to not only deny claims, but limit the spending on claims. And on the other side, they're imposing higher deductibles. They're using depreciation to limit payments on claims. And they're increasing scrutiny of new roofs when they write new policies. And they're getting rid of policies that have old restrictions. Mm. You know, wind damage, hail and wind damage, that's a common thing in Ohio now, where insurers will add that to your coverage and they send you a notice of it when it's time to renew your premiums. You pay the premium, that's your acceptance of that contract change.
Mm. A change saying that they won't cover that or that the coverage is limited?
They'll put these new restrictions in, like, deductible restrictions or raising the deductible. One popular method is to take a fixed rate deductible. Like I used to have a $1,000 deductible on my policy. Now I pay 1% of the insured value. Mm. And so that raises the premium or the deductible considerably.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. So Dan, what's happening in Ohio specifically? What did you hear from the Ohio Insurance Agents Association?
All of these things, that's what's happening in Ohio, and also that insured are seeing, you know, higher rates. S&P came out with some estimates this year, double-digit rate increases for customers, and that's likely to continue because they're claiming that they're getting more and more damage from the storms and natural disasters that are happening, and they need to recover that, protect policyholders.
Yeah. So, Martin, is this essentially the insurance company saying, "Hey, this is the changing climate. We've got these bigger storms, and we just can't pay for all of this"?
If that were overt and clearly disclosed to the policyholders, if it were clearly disclosed, for example, to Jim and Susie, look, here are how things are changing. You have to be prepared. That would make things a little bit better. But instead, I think the insurance industry is trying to hide behind a facade, and they are failing to disclose these critical numbers to consumers. 99% of American homeowners don't realize that the chances of their claims being closed with no payment whatsoever has doubled over the years. They don't realize that 40 to 50% of their claims might be closed with no payment. Without even getting into the next stage of talking about how much they're going to get paid, but the NAIC, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, has actually done a pretty good job of surveying this data state by state and providing it on their website. Their data pretty much confirms and supports all the data I've just been telling you about, that this problem is getting a lot worse. But, they have an agreement with the individual insurance companies that they won't tell you, the consumer, the numbers for each insurer.
Hmm.
And before you buy or renew a policy, wouldn't you like to know what the chances are that you're going to get treated well? Wouldn't you like to know what percentage of the claims are delayed, closed, slashed, or non-renewed for each individual insurer? And then you could say, oh, okay, here's an insurance company that has some pretty decent numbers. It may not be perfect, but, you know, this is not a perfect world. I think I'll go with insurance company A.
Yeah, we definitely have some.
But you don't get that data.
Yeah,
that data is not public. They refuse to disclose that data. We've dug in behind the scenes, looking at their all their official filings, and we've been able to dig out some very critical data that helps the consumer. But we would really love to have access to that company by company data from the NAIC surveys.
Yeah, you've got some heads nodding in agreement with you here in the studio. I want to come back to Jim and Susie. You ultimately decided to sue State Farm in Butler County, but the judge didn't rule in your favor. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course, we never intended or knew that it would go that far. When we initially got some pushback from State Farm, our contractor said, hey, I think it would be a good idea for you to get an appraiser. There's a process here. We have an appraiser. They have an appraiser. They meet, look at the damage, and hopefully agree on a solution. So I filed the appropriate paperwork, my request for an appraisal, and State Farm flatly just denied it. They flatly denied it. And at that point, the gentleman that was that we had talked to about the appraisal said, I think you need legal representation here. That's kind of where that went. We have to find a way to solve this problem. And that was the only way to do it at that point.
Hmm. Dan, how did the judge explain the ruling? And the case has since been appealed, too. Can you tell us about those rulings?
Yeah. Well, initially, the appraisal issue, State Farm argued and the judge agreed that appraisers have no authority to decide whether certain items are covered. They can't make coverage decisions. And so the judge agreed with that in one ruling. And then on two other claims, they sued for breach of contract and for operating in bad faith. And both of those the judge rejected because their attorney did not attach a copy of their policy with the lawsuit. And he said, in order to evaluate a breach of contract claim, I have to have the contract itself in the record. And those decisions were upheld by the appellate court as well. So it looks like the case is, you know, final at this point. It's finally decided by an appeals court, unless you guys are willing to go to the Supreme Court.
That sounds like a lot of bills, huh?
Yeah.
Well, wasn't there something, I read this in your story, Dan, so I don't know if one of you can talk about it. What's Ohio's matching roof law? I mean, how does that fit into all this?
Yeah, that's this practice, and that's what they argue. That's what their contractor argued as well, that you can't just replace pieces of a roof unless you have a reasonable match. And that's what Ohio's roof law says. There are some states that have more strict laws, and it actually requires a matching shingle. And so what they did was they looked for a roof shingle that was identical to the ones that were damaged, and they couldn't find one. State Farm responded that that they found some at Menards, as Jim was saying, and their roofer told me he looked between, I think, northern Ohio all the way down to the river. Couldn't find a match. I think he found one bundle of shingles, which he said was not enough to do the repairs that were needed. I mean, one reason I was interested in this story is I had a very similar experience this year with my roof.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here we go.
And that we got the same answer. The first thing they said was we see about 40 shingles damaged. And so I have an independent agent. These guys are represented by a State Farm agent. I learned in this story that there can be a difference in having an independent agent. And my independent agent hooked me up with a roofer who went up on my roof, took a bunch of pictures. They said there's a lot more damage than you're admitting. That didn't work. But then I talked to another roofer who made an argument along these lines. There's this matching roof law in Ohio. And since they conceded there was roof damage, this guy said, I want you to test whether there is a matching shingle available in Ohio. They did that. They came back saying that there was none. And ultimately, I got, 75-80% of the roof covered by the insurance and not, having to pay the whole thing. So, the matching roof law, although it's not as strong as other states, Kentucky has a pretty strong one. I think it does actually work, and I think it's a big deal to have an independent agent because they're more likely to go to bat for you than one that works for strictly the company that you're insured by.
Is that a tip that you would recommend to Martin, an independent agent, if folks are worried about this after hearing this conversation?
Absolutely. And you should know that you're not alone in filing lawsuits against insurance companies. In certain states, such as Florida, Louisiana, the percentage of homeowners whose claims have been denied filing lawsuits has gone through the roof. So much so that the insurance companies are pushing their legislatures to pass new laws to make it more difficult for homeowners to sue, which I think is a big mistake. So I want to end here on a bit of good news for Ohio, and that is that compared to other states, especially on the coast, especially Florida, California, Texas, and so forth, the situation in Ohio is not as bad, not yet at least. In terms of all those metrics that I told you about earlier, Ohio is kind of in the middle. And it's, for example, in terms of claims that are delayed in 2024, the average nationally was just about 23%. The average in Ohio is 21%. in terms of the claims closed without payment. Also, Ohio is not nearly as high as some other states, but it's getting up there. Based on our numbers, insurers operating in Ohio closed almost 37% of all the claims they received with no payment whatsoever. And then beyond that, like we said, they will delay claims, they'll slash claims, they'll do things like that.
Yeah. We do have a couple of emails that have come in. I don't know if we can get to both of them. Bob emailed, "I've moved to California from Ohio. Is a big part of the problem so many different state regulations, and are the insurance companies using this to deny even more?" In just about a minute, Martin, are regulations part of the issue here?
In a big, broad sense, yes. Because instead of having one federal regulator, the insurance industry has something like 56, which includes all states, territories, and other jurisdictions. So it's very easy, especially in a smaller state, for the insurance companies to effectively overwhelm the insurance commissioners and regulators in terms of their spending power, in terms of their lobbying power, and in terms of their, you know, their aggressiveness. So it's the regulation of insurance companies is either weak or poorly enforced or both.
Well,
in most states.
Yeah. I want to come back to you, Susie. You still have ongoing leaks and mold problems in your house, right?
We do. Yes, we do.
Oh, that's got to be so frustrating more than 3 years later.
Correct. We have, I don't know, 7 or 8 spots that are very visible on our kitchen ceiling. We have an adjoining bathroom that also has mold spots on the ceiling. And our house is a ranch home. There's no plumbing in our ceiling. There's no other explanation for what's happening. And I think that's what really frustrates me. You know, when this whole process started, like Jim said, I mean, we never dreamed we'd end up in a lawsuit. I mean, we as consumers thought we have a reputable company. You know, God forbid if something happens, it's going to be taken care of. And the entire process to me has been overwhelming. It's difficult to navigate. You know, it is portal-based. I thought that our local agent and that office would be there for us, but they're not. They won't even return our calls now. But yet every month we're sending them money to represent us. And I've got a ceiling that continues to leak. And, you know, it's a dreary, rainy day today here in Cincinnati. And I'm sure I'm getting water in my kitchen. So it continues to mount.
Yeah. Dan, just very quickly, any other tips you can offer people? I know that this data isn't widely available, like Martin said. Anything else besides an independent agent?
Yeah, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners gave me a list of 10 things you can ask for before you sign a policy, including, you know, what will the coverage limits on my home automatically Yeah, you can go to my
WCPO.com. WCPO.com. Look under the iTeam tab. Yep. I've been talking with Weiss Ratings founder Martin Weiss, Middletown homeowners Jim Leonard and Susie Bregenzer, and WCPO 9 iTeam reporter Dan Monk. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Ella Rowan. And if you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.